So we're going to move on in our gathering, and I'm going to bring Neil onto screen, and he's going to take us into the next part of our gathering and into the next part of our story in the life of David. So Neil, it's over to you.
Thanks very much, Chris. It's great to be with you. I do have an assistant this morning, Ben, who's going to come and help us with our reading in a minute. But it's great to be with you. If you were listening earlier, you'll have heard we've been away on holiday. But it's really good to be back with you as the church family again. As Chris has said, we're looking at the story of David through this summer season. And already we've looked at David, the heart of David, the battle, and today we're thinking about waiting. The heart. God was looking for somebody to be king, was looking for someone to be anointed. Saul was already king, but wasn't making a good job of it. And so now was time for a new king. And God sent Samuel to go and look for the king. And he went to the brothers and saw all the different brothers looking at things on the outside. None of them were right. But God had chosen David. Because God looks on the inside and not on the out. Not on all of our strengths that we can see from the outside, but he looks on the strength of our heart. Our heart for him and our heart for others. And then last week, Ruthie reminded us in the story of David and Goliath, perhaps one of the most famous stories of David's, the battle of David and Goliath, the giant versus the little one. Yet when confidence in God, with faith, he was victorious. He knew that when God was with him, nothing could be against him. And so we're in that story, looking at a David who is being anointed to be king, but is not yet. And so this week we're going to think about waiting. What does it mean to wait for God? What does it mean to wait to see the things that he has promised in our lives? And so we're going to look at that through story, but I've got a little challenge. Well, it's a challenge for me, but it's a challenge for you to guess. And so I have got a tray. Well, it's actually a pizza tray. And I've got 30 cups in front of me. Plastic cups. You can have a go at this in another time. Make sure you use plastic. Don't use glass. Got 30 cups of different sizes and different things. And I am going to try and stack these up however many I can get without them all falling down. So while Ben comes in to read our story, if you could give me an idea of how many of the 30 do you think I'm going to be able to stack? Can I get all 30 in? Do you reckon I can get half? Do you reckon I can get more than half or less than half? So how many do you think I'm going to be able to stack? Write them in the comments as we hear the story read by Ben.
After the victory, David was brought before King Saul. Saul looked at him with admiration, but also with suspicion. The boy was far too courageous and clever for his liking. "Young man, you must tell me the name of your father," he said. "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem," this said David quietly. "You must stay with your king now," said Saul. David bowed humbly. He did not notice that Saul was fingering his spear nervously. When Saul and his men returned home, later the streets were filled with women singing songs of victory. "Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. The chanting and the banging of the tambourines and the women dancing and paying such attention to David suddenly filled King Saul with rage. "Why are they singing that?" he whispered to himself. "Why only thousands for me, but 10,000s for David? All the boy needs now is to steal my kingdom." Saul had no idea that God had already chosen David to become the next king, but he knew that he had to watch David very carefully. From the time onwards, David helped the Israelite army to win many battles. All the time Saul thanked him and praised him, but secretly he feared him. He would watch David passing and smiling and finger his spear beside him.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Ben. And so, Benny, you're going to stay around and help me with this task. You can pass me. If you come around to the back, come around the back, and then you can help pass me. So we're going to look at David in a minute, but let's have a task. There's some optimistic choices here. Peter Lillington's gone all 30, if you keep your hand still. Wow, that's Tavy, I think you've probably gone for a nearer chance of about 19. Graham, thanks, kept it low. Chloe thinks 10. That is probably the most optimistic. So let's have a go, see how we can do. So I'm going to start piling up. So we've got 1, 2. The thing I didn't say was that they're actually even sizes as well, so that could bring a challenge to it as well. So we've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're starting to struggle with the space on the thing. We're going to have to go up and level. Oh, Ben, you're going to have to start passing them to me. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Now we're getting tricky. 12. Oh. 13. Oh. Can I get that in there? 14. Gonna have to go higher now. 15. Oh my word, this is getting tricky now. I think I can squeeze one more in there. 16. I'm struggling with space. 17. That's 17. Can I get one on top there? Oh, I don't know. Oh, 18. Have we got any space around the front? I can't see. Is there space around there? Oh, 19. I didn't balance this up very well. Oh, it's starting to rock. It's starting to rock. It's starting to rock. 20. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. I'm running out of space. I can't. Can I squeeze them in? Oh! Collapsed. I think that was on 19. Who knows? There was someone with 19. Tavy, you are absolutely spot on with 19. Well done, Tavy. Good job. Oh, well, I'm going to practice that a bit more because I reckon I can get more on that another time. Brilliant. Fantastic. Ben, thank you very much for your help. Amazing job. So we're looking at the story of David, and actually we're thinking about David waiting. So it's worth saying we've thought about him being anointed king. And Samuel, they think Samuel was probably between 10 and 15 years old when he was anointed king by Samuel. He battled with, as Ruthie said last week, he battled with Goliath around 16, 17 years old, they think. But in 2 Samuel 5, later on, it says that he was 30 years old when he became king. 30 years old. So 15 to 20 years of waiting. Waiting to be king, even though he'd been anointed by Samuel to be king. A time of waiting. In our culture, we're not very good at waiting. It's not popular. We want things now. We want things instant. We want things immediate. In fact, waiting becomes a frustration. It becomes, gets us angry and rage inside. I've had to do quite a lot of waiting with shops, going shopping and waiting outside to get in. Our local shop's got a traffic light system on it, and you can't go in until it's green, so it builds up a queue outside. And sometimes I'm kind of like, great, it's fine, this is good. Other times I'm like, I'm in a rush, I need to get this done. I want to get in now. Sometimes it's beautiful weather outside, and I'm quite happy waiting, but other times it's raining and I'm thinking, I just want to get in here as quick as possible. But in the game that we've just looked at, the game that you did earlier was waiting and sitting and being as still as possible. But in this game, we were looking at and thinking a little bit about a different type of waiting. Perhaps the waitering you might see in a restaurant, as the waiter or waitress brings the food out on a tray or collects it up afterwards. Because waiting is not inactivity. It's not stationary. It's not stopping. Waiting is an active thing. And we want to look at what the story of David speaks to us today about our waiting. And I want to pray for us later, particularly for those that feel like they are waiting for things, whether it is specific stuff or whether it is the general sense of God's call in our lives. I want to pray for us together and allow the Holy Spirit to come and encourage us and build us up today. So waiting. Firstly, it's worth saying that the idea of waiting is not simply sitting and doing nothing. As we've said, it's more like that waiting on a table. Bringing things out. Is this asking and being attentive to the person at the table? What is it you need? What is it you want? What have you ordered? What are you bringing to us? That image can be that with us and God as we wait. God, what is it you would like today? What is it you need? What is it? How is it I can respond to what it is that you are saying today? There's the big picture of what it is that God is calling us to wait and the waiting for that. But in that moment, we can be attentive to God. We can be responding to him, to the things that he is saying. But let's look at the story of David as he waits, not just from the moment of anointing, but also how David was waiting before. Not that he knew that he was waiting, not that he had prepared or was thinking about these things. But there's something about the waiting that had happened before that shaped his heart. You see, David was a shepherd. And so he was often out in the fields looking after. And it tells us that he played his harp. He sung his heart. He sung out. And we know that many of the psalms that we read in the Bible now are Psalms of David. In his waiting, he sung out. In his waiting in the field, even before he was anointed king, he sung out. But he also practiced. He practiced his skills. It tells us when the battle of with Goliath, that he returned to the swing. He returned to it because it's something that he had practiced. The skills that he knew he wanted, that he might need for just the job of a shepherd. But actually, it was preparing him for things in the future. What are the simple things that God is giving you to do today that is preparing for tomorrow? Whatever tomorrow is, whenever tomorrow is. What are the simple things that he's putting in your hands to practice now, to prepare? And how is God preparing your heart in the things that are going on? How are we intentionally engaging with worship and prayer, that it prepares our heart in the waiting, actively seeking and listening? The promise in that too is that as we wait on the Lord, that he renews our strength. So if we're feeling tired and weary, then we can be renewed by our waiting, our active waiting. But we have the battle. The confidence in God has grown through that waiting time, through that time of preparation. But even after the battle, if he was 16 or 17, we've still got another 10 to 13 years of waiting. Waiting to be king, waiting to fulfill the promise that has been spoken over him. What does that waiting look like? Well, let's remind us, if we haven't read the story, go back and read it at another point, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, as we heard in Ben's reading today. Saul didn't like that David was popular. Didn't like that he was killing more people. Didn't like that the people were singing songs that said that Saul had only done a few and that David had done many. He didn't like his popularity. He began to think, what can I do with this upstart who's trying and is being successful in the things that he does? We also know in the story that David ended up having to run away into the wilderness to get away from the threats of Saul. Waiting wasn't easy. Yet, in this story, we see some things of what it means for us to wait as we seek God. Firstly, David honoured the king. He continued to serve him, continued to do those things. It says in our reading that he continued to battle. David helped the Israelite army to win many battles. He continued to serve under Saul. He didn't just disappear off and run off and kind of just sit and wait in hiding, but he continued to serve. There was times where he would play his harp for Saul as well, that the worship that he played from his instrument soothed Saul as his mind began to become more enraged at what he saw around him. And so he honoured the king. Even as we read later, there was an opportunity when he was in hiding. There was an opportunity for David to attack Saul. Yet he didn't. He held back. He honoured the rightful king at that time, waiting for the opportunity, his opportunity, to rightfully step into the role. So we continue to serve and honour. We continue to worship, as I've said already. He played musical instruments, he played the harp. Perhaps even in this time, well, we know in this time there was psalms written in the wilderness, psalms written of his heart poured out to God. Psalms of joy and delight, but psalms of the challenge and the reality of what's going on. Pouring his heart out to God in the waiting. He continues to serve in the ways that are given to him. But he continues with normal life as well. David gets married, he has children. Normal life continues as he waits for this moment. So my question for us, it's a relatively simple message. It's an invitation in our waiting to be proactive, to be intentional about our waiting, to step into the things that God has put around us, to take on the skills, however young or old we are, whatever it is that we're waiting for. So my question for you this morning is, what are you waiting for? And how are you waiting? Waiting wasn't just a unique act for David. As we read through scripture, Abraham waited for a son. Abraham waited for the fulfillment of the journey that he'd been called to do. Joseph waited in prison, wrongfully arrested, wrongfully put in prison, but waited from that moment when he had explained a dream before he got the chance to explain another dream to a king. Moses waited twice in the wilderness. Firstly, he waited because he ran, not that he was actively waiting perhaps so much in that one, but he ran away from the country that he'd grown up in. And then secondly, he waited as they left Egypt and they entered towards the promised land. Joshua was with him. Joshua had entered as a spy into the promised land, had seen it, was one of the spies that had said, this is a land that we can go into. But the hard-heartedness of the people of God at that time meant that they had to wait. So Joshua had to wait. Again, he continued to pray and to seek God's presence in that place. Job waited through suffering. Daniel waited for breakthrough in prayer. Jesus waited. Waited in the desert for 40 days. Waited for his ministry to begin at around the age of 30. And he continues to wait for the return. Waiting is a normal part of a kingdom life. So how are we waiting? What are we waiting for? At this stage, just before we finish our time thinking about the last bit of David in his waiting, I just want us to take a moment. And I want to pray for us just to recognize things that we are waiting for at this time. There may be things that we've been waiting a short amount of time for. There may be things that we're waiting for a long time for. Hopes, dreams. What is it that you've been waiting for, that you wait for now? In the story of David, the specific thing that he is waiting for is the call upon his life. The thing that God has called him to do, to be king. I suspect that there's probably no one here watching that's got a call to be king. In listening on to this Facebook Live today. But for each of us, there is a call upon our lives. There's a general call as followers of Jesus. But for each of us, there's a specific call of what that looks like in our context. What he's called, who he's called you to be in the places that he's called you to be. For some of us, there's dreams that God has given us. There's a vision that God has called you to take up. And you're waiting. And for some of us, perhaps that waiting has caused disappointment. For some of us, that waiting has called us sadness. For some of us, that waiting may have called us to give up on that dream. The invitation of God today is to come back and to fix our eyes on Jesus, to fix our eyes on God, that he is one who is faithful and fulfills all that he has promised. At around the age of 21, 22, some people prayed over me, a sense of God's call for my life, and my life has shaped and followed that path. I still wait for some of the fulfillment of those things. And at times I've given up and thought, this is never going to happen. At other times it's been an obvious next step in that journey. I continue to see the fulfillment and with expectation of what God can do. But what about for you? What is the dream? What is the hope? What is the vision that God has given to you? However big or small it might feel. God wants to revive that in us. For some of us, God wants to put a passion in us, a vision in us for what he is calling us to do. Again, that might be for some of the younger people watching today, but it's not exclusively to the younger. God has called each of us. So let's take a moment. Let's take a moment to pray together. Let's just acknowledge areas of disappointment, areas of sadness in our waiting. Let's recognize that David had them too and could write them down in Psalms. And for some of us, that might be what we need to do as our process, is just to write down the things that are flowing out of our hearts. For some of that sense of giving up. For hopes that we had for life. For the way things would be. God wants us to begin to talk to him again about those things. So we're going to pray. I'm going to invite Deb's back onto the screen as well to lead us in worship as we come. But let's just take a moment to pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are good, that you are always good. Thank you that you are faithful. And Father, I pray that in our waiting, we would draw near to you. in the specific things that have come to mind. The normal things of life that we're waiting for. The words that, God, you have spoken over our lives. Holy Spirit, would you come and breathe your life afresh? Would you empower us to be active waiters as we engage with you? Come, Holy Spirit. Father, would you bring healing to where there is sadness and where there is disappointment? And Father, for those that don't yet know what it is that specifically you've called them to, Father, I pray that you would bring dreams and visions of what it is that you've called them to. So come, Holy Spirit, move in power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Debs, I'll hand over to you and lead us in a time of worship.